Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. As always, it is great to catch up with you. And for once, the world doesn't look too different from when we last discussed it. The Strait of Hormuz remains closed. Oil prices are somewhat higher than when we last spoke, and yet global equity markets keep grinding higher. So, Burkhard, what's driving this astonishing development?
Well, I think we're seeing more evidence of our roaring 20s scenario at work. And clearly, productivity and earnings growth are like the fairy queen of global stock markets. And, you know, productivity growth raises the financial reward to capital as compared to the reward of labor, if you will. Now, that may be unfair, but, you know, life is rarely fair. And the way I look at it is when you study economic history, you get to realize that the power of better ideas has always been the strongest force in any economy, and that's powering productivity. And really, in history, all big economic leaps and chapters started with technology. For example, the age of electricity produced industrialization, and that, of course, was the greatest socioeconomic disruption in all of human history. Industrialization allowed the world's population to multiply from half a billion to nowadays around about 8 billion people. And it not only made us much more productive, it created and raised the health and wealth of nations and individuals to previously absolutely unimaginable levels. And then as we progressed from agricultural to industrial and subsequently today's service sector economies, the internet revolution of the late 1980s drove a lasting productivity and subsequent stock market boom of the 1990s, of course. And I think that bull market of the 90s was had in some ways parallels today's, and it was driven by three secular forces, which in a different way I read as being at work today too. So, for example, the one secular driver was productivity gains, which in the 1990s already raised corporate earnings and private incomes for several years. And of course, that has been happening exactly during the last 3 years of this bull market too. Secondly, the 1990s were characterized by proliferating disruptive innovation, which replaced old business models by new ones. And that kept inflation at bay. For example, I may have shared this before, when Jeff Bezos founded Amazon in 1994, that certainly contributed to persistently lower consumer prices. And that's because disruptive innovation only survives if it makes things cheaper or better or both. And precisely the same thing is happening today. Just look, for example, at the 99-point decline in the cost of solar tech or batteries since the early 1990s, or at AI itself, which, of course, is almost for free and incredibly easy to prompt nowadays. And so as innovation keeps inflation at bay, bond yields moved lower for longer in the 1990s, despite growing government debt and deficit. And there's a clear parallel once again to today. And the third secular force in the 1990s and today was the rise of a new world order. When the Soviet Union, for example, dissolved in 1990, the Cold War ended and a new peace order rose. But that, of course, ended when in 2022, Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. And since Donald Trump's been telling Europeans to stop free riding the powerful wings of the American eagle, a new race to beef up security and critical infrastructure is not only changing Europe and the world, but also lifting stock and industrial commodity prices.
Well, Burkhard, that's all very interesting. Good to hear, though, of course, the bull market of the 1990s ultimately led to irrational exuberance, the dot-com bubble and its crash in the early 2000s. So with that, Burkhard, how do you put that into context with the current AI and semiconductor bull market?
Great question. I mean, you know, it's like, are we partying like 1999? You know, I absolutely love that Prince song, which he wrote back then. But seriously, I don't think that markets are partying like it's 1999. And I also don't think that markets are dancing on a volcano that's about to erupt as some skeptics fear. So, you know, in my current viewpoints letter this week, I actually have a chart which compares the tech boom of today and of the late 1990s. And, you know, if you compare them, then the current one is ostensibly pale in comparison to the 1990s ones. The optics very clearly suggest that if markets are partying anything, they're partying like in 1995 and not like 1999. You know, today's AI semi boom really looks just like a fraction, I don't know, maybe 20% of the meteoric rise of the tech market in 1999. So while, of course, irrational exuberance could melt up again, I push back strongly on the notion that we're already there. Today's sector, today's tech sector, is highly profitable, scales rapidly, uses much less debt than was needed in the 1990s. Its balance sheets, price book and price earnings ratios, are much healthier than during the 1999 exuberance. And while their roads to riches will be no walk in the park from a bird's eye perspective, now, today's market is not partying like in 1999, and yes, technology is changing the world, and it will drive productivity, earnings, and markets higher for longer, I believe.
Well, Burkhardt, that's, of course, music to Wall Street's ears, but you did mention the metaphor of dancing on a volcano. And against today's renewed rise in crude oil prices, what should investors make of this?
Sure, I think that's a fair point. And, well, yes, in a way, we are dancing on a volcano, but I don't think it'll erupt. And that's because neither Iran's Revolutionary Guards nor Donald Trump want to revisit that point of mutual destruction of the vital energy infrastructure that happened in mid-March. I think it was on March 18th when an Iranian oil field was set on fire just to be followed by rockets on the world's biggest LNG facility in Qatar. And while, of course, conflicts are unpredictable, it seems to me that all parties, Iran, the U.S., and the rest of the world have overwhelming interest in reopening the strait for trade. And once that happens, expect Gulf states to build pipelines, the rest of the world to speed up its energy transition, reduce the dependency on Middle East on oil and gas, and all of this to contribute to the roaring 20s and the global bull market, which, as we believe, still has legs to run.
Burkhardt, terrific insights as always. It's great catching up with you, hearing your insights, and thank you for sharing them with our listeners and our clients. I'm sure they all find this to be very helpful. Wishing you a good rest of the week. Stay well, and I do look forward to catching up again with you soon.
Same here. Thanks for having me, Dan. It's always a great pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the day and speak again soon. Take care for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.